Real Estate Coaching Radio, America's number one trusted resource for realtors who demand authentic, real-time coaching. Starring award-winning real estate coaches Tim and Julie Harris. Get ready for unfiltered, full-strength honesty about what is truly working to get you into action and make you money in this new real estate boom. Now to our hosts, Tim and Julie Harris.
We're joined today by Gary Gold, a top producer at Hilton and Highland, selling thousands of estates and luxury properties in his 25 years in the real estate business. Gary is a marquee name in luxury real estate, and his sale of the Playboy Mansion sets a record as the first residence to sell for over $100 million in Los Angeles. Gary is known as a trendsetter and is recognized as an expert in his use of technology, marketing, and publicity to sell some of the finest homes in the world. He's a sought-after speaker at industry conferences and has been cited as an expert for CNN, Fortune, Barron's, The Wall Street Journal, and The London Telegraph. Now, let's welcome Gary to the call as we join our host, Tim Harris.
Mr. Gary Gold, thank you very much for being my co-host on Real Estate Coaching Radio. I know our listeners, as well as myself, are very much looking forward to today's show. I don't want to waste too much time with your intro because we've got so much ground to cover, so many wonderful things to share with the roughly 100,000 folks that are going to be listening to this show live and in replay. So without any further delay, Mr. Gary Gold, thank you for being my co-host. Thank you for being our guest on today's Real Estate Coaching Radio show.
You're welcome. How's that sound?
All right,
sound good?
Yeah, I like it. It was succinct. It's perfect. I'm looking at these questions that Gina prepared for us, and she's like, oh, my God, we're supposed to go through all this, but it's all good stuff. So let me, Gary,
okay,
I watched,
cool.
I've known about you. We coach a lot of agents in L.A. You've got, you know, a really stellar reputation. You're one of these agents that are sort of like breathing this air that's very rare. People always, you know, when you're at the level that you're at, a lot of folks just sort of don't. They just wonder how someone like you gets to where you are, wonders how you get your leads. They think somehow you're connected with, you know, some sort of like, you know, they don't understand really what it takes. And that's what I'm hoping we can share with the listeners, let them know that, you know, wherever they're selling real estate in the world, we have listeners in many different countries, that they too can emulate what you've done, follow in your footsteps, and learn from, you know, basically the, you know, following the path that other people have forged versus trying to figure it out on their own. So what got you into real estate? How long have you been in real estate? Tell them a little bit about your background.
Well, I just want to make one point first. You know, here in Beverly Hills, I have seen people who have a background that you would think that it would be like they would be anointed with all the business they could ever have. They just came from the right family, and they're totally connected, and they're good-looking, and they're smart, and they fall on their ass, and they go nowhere. And I've seen people – I remember a guy, I mean, he happened to be a bad person, but just regardless of that, he came here from the island of Malta, and I remember in, like, the 90s, and he became, like, the biggest agent in town, and he didn't know anybody. He was just an animal. So, I digress. So, what was the question? When did I start?
Well, now I'm wanting to talk about this agent from Malta. That sounds very interesting, but maybe we'll do that on a different show. Well, no,
okay.
So you just said something that's very important. And we're going to get to it. Family connections, professional connections in Hollywood and California and L.A. It's going to be a lot of industry connections to business managers and all that. Hell yeah, that stuff matters. But at the end of the day, Gary, if you could encapsulate the thing, the one thing, if there is such a thing, that makes you so incredible, so exceptional, what would it be?
Well, you know, I would say that makes me really successful is I'm actually, you know, we are in a performance-based business. It really doesn't matter how great I am or what I did or the fact that I sold the Playboy Mansion doesn't do me a bit of good if I don't sit up, stand up, show up, and perform. You know, listen, Golden State Warriors completely blew it last year at the end. They had the best record, and they were the best team. Some people thought they were the greatest team ever, and they lost. The year before, they prevailed. They brought it the year before. They didn't bring it in the Game 7 this year. It's that simple. We are in a performance-based business. No one really cares I mean, it might get your foot in the door that you've had this success and you've done this, and it definitely gives you more opportunities. But the total key in this whole business is actually executing. And you could be
so
brand new. If you're brand new, you have no experience, you're ugly, and you're stupid. If you outperform me, you will win. Now, most likely you won't, but that's all you have to do is outperform somebody. And there are those, we see in sports sometimes these underdogs that do great, that there's no superstars on a team, and all of a sudden they beat the greatest team in the world. They outperform them, and that is totally possible in real estate.
Okay, you said outperform.
And it's totally possible to be great. It's totally possible to be really, really good, like me, and for one reason or another, I'm not doing what I'm supposed to be doing, and I'm not being consistent, I'm not performing, and I have a bad quarter, month, year, whatever.
Let's drill down. This is awesome. Action. I'm hearing massive, overwhelming, targeted, specific, planned action. What you said, outperform. Those are the words you're using. So what do you mean by that? Outperform, perform. What are the five, and you can change the number if you'd like to, critical things that an agent has to absolutely kick ass at in order to be even mildly successful in this business?
Yeah. Now, I might not cover everything, and I could say something slightly different if we talked in another day, but I'll give you what's on top of my mind. Number one, you've got to, I believe that there's no shortage. Now, there could be someone out there that is saying, what are you talking about? But there really is no shortage of getting leads in this business today. I mean, it's never been easier to get leads if you know nobody, if you know a lot of people, if you have listings, if you don't. There is a ton of different ways to get leads. That's the good news. The bad news is that there's a ton of different ways to get leads, and it's really easy to. So in my market, it might be different slightly for other people's market. For every lead I have, 10 other agents have the same lead. And where all the money's made is going from that one person to that the one of 10 to the one. So the
Take
first thing
that,
you need
Gary.
To do, which is – okay.
Go ahead. Sorry. Drill down on that. Because what you just said was
– Yeah.
Yes.
The wife. Hold on. I got
to – Don't blow her off. You got to
– You know, it's funny. No, I will. I've got like – but it's funny. I've got my iPad, my iPhone. Everything rings. So it's crazy. It seems like I'm getting like 3 or 4 calls. So the first most important thing you need to do, and it sounds simple, but even good people don't do this perfectly, and it really does require doing it, is just the better you do this, the more leads and the more business you'll do, is just capture the information and put it in one central place. There are people that they've got like emails from this lead, they got on the in their head this other person they saw at the market, they got in a piece of paper on the back of their business card, this other person that they thought of when they were driving, they pulled over and said, I should call that person, and then they've got like their wedding list here, and they've got their Zillow list here, and you need to get all your leads and everyone you know in your sphere all in one place. And then you need to, as soon as you get a new lead, you need to add to that. The first thing I do when I get a lead is I do intel, and I make sure I have all their information. This is real basic, but phone number, first name, last name, are they married, what's their address, what's their email address, and I make a note about who they are. Because 6 months from now, you might not, who the hell is Joe Schmo? You just don't know who they are. So that's number one. Number two, you need to start what I call pushing buttons and connecting dots. This person, they're either a buyer or seller. You should start asking yourself, okay, if they're a buyer, is there something off market that I know about, or is there something, do I have a seller who might fit this buyer? Because the best thing you can do to this, if you're 1 in 10 agents, if you go, I got something that's not on the market, I'd like to show it to you, you just get elevated like that. If you're talking to a seller and you might have a buyer, a real buyer that could be right for his house, again, you get elevated, you get to meet these people, you get to take their temperature, and you actually might be able to make a deal. But that's just one way to connect with people, what I call pushing buttons, because you have to get into this ongoing conversation. So but you could call someone about to give information like what's happening in the market, properties on the market, how much inventory, interest rates, whatever, or you could ask more information from them. But the goal is you want to get in this real conversation with someone, which I call being in play with somebody. When you start having this ongoing conversation with a buyer or seller, you are that much closer to actually being their only agent. And, you know, often today, a buyer finds their own property. And the last person they had an intelligent conversation with might just be the easiest person for them to connect with. So if you had a conversation about Main Street to this buyer that you've never met, and whether he liked it or not, you had this conversation on a Monday night, if he's on Zillow drinking a glass of wine and sees a property on Main Street or a block away or two blocks away, or there's some connection, you might just be the easiest person to contact. Hey, listen, that guy knew about Main Street. Let me call up and see what he thinks about this. And you could be the person to facilitate that deal, or at the very least become their agent.
You said a couple things, and again, we have listeners, with this many listeners, we have people that are all different levels of experience. You said like five things there that are awesome, but I want to point out two things. Number one, the initial conversation you're doing is you're essentially taking their temperature about their motivation, and you're doing a fair bit of pre-qualification. Then I heard you say that essentially the longer that conversation goes on, the more they're going to be loyal and dedicated, and more likely they are going to be able to use you, assuming they're serious about buying something, because they will have essentially invested more time in you, and so that will be the formation of what could be a very profitable relationship. So being
well,
good
let me break
at being
that down for you a little bit more. Let me break
awesome.
That down for you a little bit more. It's not that initial conversation. In my world, now the world changes wherever you are. Real estate isn't the same everywhere. In my world, selling these big houses, the gestation period from someone thinking about buying or selling to actually doing it can be a week, it could be a day, but it could be a month, it could be 6 months, it could be a year, it could be 3 years. And you want to develop all those, because you end up with this pipeline where they, if you're really working them all and keeping them all in play and that you're still top of mind, it starts coming at you fast and furious, and that's when real estate gets real fun. In other markets, it might be really simple. Someone calls you, they want to buy a home, and they buy a home. They want to sell a home, then they sell a home. That doesn't happen in my world. So there could be some adjustments. I think there's something to learn about it. So, you know, people have a lot of options here when they're, you know, really well-to-do and they're buying expensive homes. So the gestation period. So it's not one conversation. The key is to have an ongoing conversation. Have you ever noticed you try to connect with somebody and it could take a week, 2 weeks, 3 weeks, and you guys are, it's called playing phone tag. Oh, we're playing phone tag. We can't connect. And then all of a sudden you connect and it's so easy to reach that person from then on out. There's a reason for that. You know, that initial call, people want to maybe be sitting down. They might need a bit of time. They're not going to pick up the phone at lunch or while they're on the treadmill at the gym. They want that time. But once you have that initial call and you guys are talking about something, then it's really easy to connect. And you could be texting each other, emailing. It's this ongoing thing. It doesn't require, you know, this initiation. And that's where you want to be in with as many buyers as possible. Be that person that you're having that ongoing conversation with. So if a property comes up or they get a bug up their butt to list, you are the easiest person to call. You're the most relevant person to call. Their cousin that they were going to list with, or their person that they bought the home from but haven't talked to in 6 months, could be more of a pain in the butt, and there's more moving parts to connect with them than this person that they're talking to now.
That they have rapport with,
that
they have a high level of comfort with. Yeah, that's incredible.
Well,
that's really
– they have a high – it's kind of a current level of comfort with. You know,
right.
If they really broke it down and thought about it, they may think their cousin they're more connected with. But it's like there's – people do things like that. They do it on a whim. They do it what's most convenient for them, and they're also impulsive. So that's –
this should
know,
be incredibly
that
encouraging.
That works both ways, by the way. Works both
this should
ways,
be, right.
by
you,
the way.
You could lose the relationships if you're not on. But this should be incredibly encouraging to anybody. You're not just selling high-end, Gary. You're selling, like, I don't even know what you want to call it, ultra-high-end. I mean, $100 million listing, that's ultra-high-end, I think, for a residential property.
Yeah.
But I think what you're saying –
that was the biggest sale in the U.S. last year.
what you're saying is relevant to any market and any price range,
right.
And that's what should be encouraging to all the new agents that are listening, and it's so true. And I'm hearing him say a lot of things, and I hope you guys are hearing the same things. He's talking about urgency. He's talking about returning calls right away. He's talking about, even though I'm sure it's in his head, he's talking about using a script, a conversational outline that gets him to a desired result. He's talking about, and he said this too, he knows the friggin' market like the back of his hand. He knows the market that's not even on the market. If you guys don't have that level of expertise on the market, about your market, get it. It's not that difficult to get. I mean, you guys are real estate agents, right? You have super keys, right? Get out there and know the market. So if you don't mind, let's pivot and talk a little bit about listings.
I just want to mention that I don't use scripts. Now, I have, I probably have a repertoire of things I say, but I don't have any scripts. I've never practiced scripts. I don't know. It doesn't even register with me. Now, I have been in the business since 1977. I did stand-up comedy. I'm quick on my feet. I'm not your – I would say maybe – now, there are other people that use scripts, and it works. I'm not putting it down. I don't use scripts, just to clarify that.
It's in your head, right? I mean, when you're having a conversation with somebody – I'm sure you study Dr. Martin's four levels of learning, and you're at the level of learning where it's called conscious competence, where you don't have to think about what you're going to say, because most of what you say, because of the massive amount of experience you have, whatever comes out of your mouth, generally speaking, is going to be on target, so you don't have to think about what you're going to say next, and that's where everyone hopes to get as far as having a high level of expertise. I understand completely.
Right.
So
right.
What would surprise folks about working with the ultra high end? I mean, when you tell you you're a big game hunter, probably one of the best big game hunters as far as really Gary selling anything. There's very few people that have the experience that you have with selling these really nine figure properties. So when you're dealing with stuff like that, what would surprise people? What would surprise the listeners about the characteristics of those sorts of buyers and sellers? What do you think would surprise them?
For the most part, I mean, I don't even really categorize. I don't really look at people like they're some iconic figure or anything. It just doesn't even register. If I was a surgeon, really skilled surgeon, and I was I was doing a laminectomy on Beyonce, I don't think I'd be enamored while she's on the operating table that it's Beyonce. I'm looking at a bulging disc, and I'm operating on that. So I really, 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 I'm so much more interested in doing a good job, getting the deal done, and earning a good living than who they are. So that really, it's not like you're walking around enamored with it. Every once in a while, I've had a few days where I go, what? That was just bizarre. I had one day where there was literally five of the most famous celebrities, like back to back, looking at a same house, and it seems surreal. But people are people, and they are driven. When people have a lot of money and they're in that world, they tend to have a lot of people working for them. So you're dealing with a lot of different people, and they have less time available. But that's the only real difference.
But the drivers of them, no matter how many millions they have or tens of millions they have or how famous they are, pretty much are all the same, right? I mean, they're motivated by kind of the same types of things, but the more assets and properties 100%. That people start to have. Yeah, exactly. And I'm trying to really drive. I want everyone to be encouraged that you can be their beacon and they can emulate what you've done. And a lot of – this, Gary. A lot of people will say, I can't do that because – and they need to understand, I haven't lived in that world. I haven't breathed that air. I haven't sold a $100 million house. That's not an excuse not to actually pursue that if that's your objective. I mean, at some point, Gary, you decided that was the market you were going to target. Can you kind of just walk us through how you got into that mental, emotional process of deciding to take that market on and become a big game hunter?
I've been doing this so long, I've had to reinvent myself and start over and many, many times. Going back in 2009, I had spent about the previous several years, like 4 or 5 years, really focusing on developments, where I went all in on developments, and I had close to $1 billion worth of listings, and it all fell apart because the market fell apart. And I literally everything that I put my effort into just evaporated. And I had put very little focus in my resale business to the point where people didn't know who I was anymore. And I remember trying to get a $3 million listing, which is not a huge listing here in Los Angeles, you know, in the Sunset Strip or in Beverly Hills. And I remember I was trying to get a $3 million listing, and this guy says, "Why don't I know who you are?" And if you're this, and I go, and I couldn't show him any sales because my average sale at that point, getting back, is I had a bunch of $1 million sales. I couldn't get the listing. Okay? So what I did is I remember I ended up getting one listing that was 2.6, and it was a cool house, and there was a celebrity attached to it, and it was Ashton Kutcher's house, and I got that listing, and I leveraged that, got a lot of publicity on it, and I leveraged that, and that's what I sold. I have a saying, sell what you got. So that $2.6 million listing was a big deal at the time. After that, I remember I was using Zillow a lot at the time to get leads. And I met someone online who was a Chinese buyer, and I ended up selling them a $6 million home in Brentwood. Someone on Zillow at 11 o'clock at night, I get a call, ends up becoming my client. She comes and she buys a house. She happened to buy a house from a famous guy named Michael Strahan. He wasn't my client. But all of a sudden now, this is going back, you know, 7 years ago, I sold a $6.6 million home from a buyer in China, which is a big thing. Everyone thinks buyers in China are the greatest thing in the world. Or, you know, people think anyone from another country coming here, somehow that's like the magic answer why – you know, so that was a big thing. And then I also sold this famous person. So I started leveraging that. That was the thing I sold. And then from that, I remember trying to get this listing for $10 million. It was a previous client, but I really had been off the radar screen. And I brought someone else in to co-list that one with me to secure the listing because I wasn't confident that I would be able to get it myself. So once I got that...
But when was this? I mean, I think I remember the Ashton Kutcher house. Wasn't this the house that he basically, him and his dad actually did actual physical?
Exactly.
I remember that property, yeah.
Exactly.
So I remember that.
And
one.
I got
it was beautiful.
That because
it was
of
really
actually Zillow. It was, but it was 2.6, and I got that because of I did this deal with Zillow where I actually gave up my commission, and I donated all of it to a charity that Ashton had. And it ended up being great publicity. And then that $6 million, then the $10 million one, I didn't think I could get it myself. I ended up bringing someone else in to co-list it with me. And we ended up actually having to then co-list it with someone else. So I had like a quarter of it, which wasn't much. But I totally leveraged. Now I have this $10 million home. And this $10 million home happened to, you know, sell to one of the Kardashians. So now I've got that under my belt, and I totally leverage that. And then
when you say you leverage that, what do you mean by that? But, Gary, just again, so we can give information to these guys. We have about 7 minutes left. When you say things like leverage that, I promise you that's what they want to know about. So when you get these big sales.
Okay, well, let me give someone a tip.
Good.
Sell what you got. I have been someone with no listings and 18 years old. I've been someone with the Playboy Mansion, and whatever it is, come up with a story and extract what the competitive advantage you have. If you're brand new, you could say, listen, I'm new. I don't have all these old-fashioned concepts, and I've got a lot of time. You can put together a very compelling argument while you are so hungry and so available how you can do something for somebody that maybe the top agent in the city might not be able to compete with you to some seller or some buyer. The other thing you can do, you know, if you're brand new, if you're brand new and you're a rabbi, your buyer's a rabbi, there's a buyer who's a rabbi, and you're Adolf Hitler, and you've got a home that's off market, he'll go look with you. It's just the truth. No one cares. If you have a buyer, it's really, no one cares who you are. If you have a property that's interesting, they'll go with you. So it's really easy to land buyers. So I got one off of a tangent. What was the question?
Well, no.
Leverage.
What you're, again, I'm the Gary Gold translator. So what I heard you say basically is when you're working with sellers, and I want to talk about the Playboy Mansion because that's a really historical sale for not just you, but I mean for the country, right? So yeah, when we're working with buyers, it's mostly a social experience. It's mostly about them trusting you, but really it's about a convenience-based relationship, and then they will work with you, assuming you don't, you know, essentially screw it up. That buyers are physical labor, working with sellers is mental labor, meaning that you have to have some skill set. You have to have, you know, that's going to require marketing. That's going to require having to be a little bit more strategic, and you're going to have a heck of a lot higher level of expertise and professionalism. It takes real skills, whereas working with buyers is social. The reason he's talking about so much working with buyers is because it is the easy button for a lot of agents to get into the market no matter what the price point is. Let's pivot and let's talk about the Playboy Mansion. Okay. I wrote this question down. you know, when you tell people – you sold the Playboy Mansion, and I imagine it comes up occasionally in conversation with you. What are the questions
I can I can fit it into. I can fit it into any conversation.
You can.
Any conversation.
I would too if I were you.
Somehow, your dog just
magically,
died.
It's irrelevant.
I'm so sorry. Your dog just died. My condolences. I sold the Playboy Mansion.
Exactly. You know, there was a dog burial ground on the Playboy Mansion. This reminds me of a story when I was selling it. What are the questions that people ask you about the Playboy Mansion? When you tell them you sold it, you have to get the funniest questions. What would be the types of questions that people ask you?
Well, the big one is like, and Hef gets to stay, which is really, not only was this the biggest sale in the U.S. last year and the biggest sale ever in Los Angeles, the type of deal it was so like impossible. But I didn't know that, and we did it. I mean, we ended up getting this thing done, which just – can you imagine just dropping $100 million and not knowing when you can have – you know, occupy it?
Well, for that parcel of land in that location, hell yeah, because that can be a primary, assuming they can get it rezoned. That can be an incredible area for future development of, you know, other mansions or whatever. So
No, you don't think?
It's, really?
It's going to be what it's going to be. No, it's the Playboy Mansion.
Wow.
That's what it's going to be.
So somebody bought that, Gary, just I'm hearing it with no idea when they're actually going to take possession of it. And wow, I didn't realize that. Incredible.
Yeah. So people just ask me about, you know, it's funny. As far as I'm concerned, it was the fact that it was an iconic property was really important to me and how great it is. But it was just a property. I mean, it was a property to me. It was $100 million sale. That's what was, you know, and it was this iconic piece of property. The fact it had all that history to it was really interesting, and you know, it makes for a good conversation. But I was really more focused on it as a real estate deal.
Transacting it, making sure things went smoothly, and obviously you got your commission check, I understand. And that's what they hired you to do. I mean, they hired you to be strategic. They hired you to be a professional, and that's where your mindset has to be. So as we round to the bend on today's radio show, what would you like to – and Gary, listen, I really appreciate your time today. What would you like to say to the tens of thousands of agents that are now listening, and there'll even be more that listen in replay? What would you like – is there anything you'd like to say to them? And if you want referrals, which, you know, you have to decide what form of communication you want to pass along, if you want to give your phone number or your email, it's completely up to you. But is there anything else you – anything you'd like to say as we round the bend on today's show?
Yeah, my email is gary@soldbygold.net. I communicate with people all the time. Anything I want to tell them, this is a really great business, but we're little entrepreneurs and nobody needs another real estate agent. I've been told there's $2.3 million licensed agents, about a million of them are actually working on some level, and no one needs another one. So if you're going to get in real estate, sit down and be strategic, figure out a part of this business that makes sense to pursue. Now, it might change and it might not work, but be very strategic, be very personable. If you decide you want to have a farm, just don't go jump in because you like this area. Maybe you'll find out that maybe like one house sells every 5 years, not the farm you want to be in. So just pause for a second and be strategic. Initially, you might just go work with somebody, but whatever you do, handle this like it's a business, because it is a business. There's really no room for someone are just jumping in and wanting to be discovered. So you got to be grown up about this, and you've got to kind of carve your a place in it and figure that out. That if you do that, you're way ahead of most people. Most agents are rudderless, just like waiting for a deal to fall in their lap, or do all these random things thinking something might happen.
I agree completely. And Gary, listen, I really appreciate the fact you were my co-host today. Listeners, I hope you're learning from what he said. There's so many different things. You guys should listen to this again and again. Office managers, brokers, you guys use our podcast for your education. He said a lot of stuff. It's important you go back and listen. I heard a lot about stick-to-itiveness. I heard a lot about willingness to basically toe the line, even if you're not getting necessarily the results you want as fast as you're getting them. I learned about masterful communication. I learned he talked about really, you know, you kind of got to be where other people aren't. But at the same time, if you find you're having a lot of competitors, the way you can win is by outworking them. I think I got hit that nail on the head. Yeah, and that
can
tells
I say one
me
last
that
thing,
is,
by the way.
Of course, sir. Yes.
Okay. So about 7 weeks ago, I started something on YouTube called Voodoo Agent, and every week I have like a 4 to 5 minute talk, just like this. I say it's like an AA meeting. It's one agent talking to another. So it's just conversational. All I am is an agent, just giving out information. So it's on YouTube. It's called Voodoo Agent. Every week I drop some new pearl of what I've learned in my career, and I'd love you to check it out.
I love it, Gary. Thank you very much for being my co-host today. Listeners, anytime you guys want to be in contact with Gary, Gary, your email address again, please.
Gary@soulbygold.net.
If any of you are putting on conferences where you're going to try to basically talk about the ultra high net worth folks, if you're wanting to talk about selling ultra high net worth real estate, even if you're outside of the real estate industry, you really should email Gary and ask him to be on your panel to maybe speak for you. Huge opportunities with learning from someone who is the best of the best. Gary Gold, thank you very much for being my co-host today. Listeners, we'll talk with you on the radio tomorrow.
Thank you. Take care.
Bye-bye.
This program has been a presentation by Tim and Julie Harris, Real Estate Coaching. For more information on our real estate coaching and training programs, visit our website at timandjulieharris.com. Remember to tune in weekdays at noon for upcoming shows, and until next time, thank you for listening to Real Estate Coaching Radio with Tim and Julie Harris.